Welcome back to the Off the Crossbar podcast here on ilindoor.com, courtesy of Inside Lacrosse and Indoor. My name is Teddy Jenner. I am your host, your MC, and the guy that's going to take you on this wonderful journey around the world of lacrosse. And this week, something special. We always try to talk to the big names in the world of lacrosse, whether they're currently in the game, whether they are making news outside of the game. Well, this week, we're kind of going to do both. And while you may not have ever heard of some of these lacrosse players, they are the best players in the world at the game of lacrosse that they play. They love the game of lacrosse just like you and I. They play for the passion and the love of the game just like you and I. They want to be world champions. They want to take the game as far as they can. And guess what? They're doing just that. And joining us on the phone right now is one of the co-founders and directors of Wheelchair Lacrosse. Ryan Baker joins us on the phone. Ryan, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great, Teddy. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. Wheelchair Lacrosse is something that most people haven't heard about. And actually, for the longest time, I didn't know about it until you guys kind of popped up in my Twitter feed as somebody that I should follow. And immediately, I was like, yes, this is something that I need to get involved with and learn more about. And you guys are growing. How did it all start?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us on. We're really excited about this. This started kind of, I guess, as a brainchild of mine back in the mid-90s when I was playing competitive wheelchair tennis. I was injured in an automobile accident the day after I graduated from high school in 1991, left me T6, paraplegic, so no abs, but I have my lats and pretty strong upper body, and got involved in sports, and one of those things was tennis. And when you play competitive tennis from a wheelchair, you have to learn how to push with a racket in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman that got me involved in tennis, her husband was a high school lacrosse coach. And I had seen lacrosse and, you know, watched it on TV, knew people from the East Coast that, you know, had played. And so I went to a few of his games. He coached at Kent, Denver, great mm-hmm. program.
Yeah.
And just fell in love with it, you know. I played soccer and, you know, just loved the whole flow and the speed and the contact. And there was just so much about it that was appealing. And when you experience an injury and you're not really able to go out, you know, there's no, like, you know, beer leagues for guys in my position necessarily, you know.
Yeah.
Just like everyday recreational stuff, you know, it's usually like a group of people that are getting together to try and do something. There's tennis and snow skiing and golf, and there's all these great things that you can do. But from a team aspect, you know, it's fairly limited. There's the rugby thing, which is great, and, you know, we love watching those guys. Guys in my position don't play rugby because, you know, our hands and arms, we have too much ability.
Yeah, right,
that's an injury-specific sport. And then there's basketball, there's hockey, there is softball that's becoming more popular among the population. And so I finally was able to share this idea, flash forward now to 2009,
yeah,
where the idea kind of lived in my head. And I finally found myself surrounded by guys that once I dropped the idea on them, you know, I had people around me ready to, like, go out and try it. And we did months of research, you know, internet, phone calls, reaching out to U.S. Lacrosse and talking to, you know, as many people as we could in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And really didn't discover any kind of, like, competitive group or any kind of organization fostering competitive lacrosse for disabled athletes.
Right.
So 2009, you know, we have a 501c3. We rolled it out into kind of the disabled community through various channels, and over time have been able to get some traction with some of these different disabled sports groups that bring us on, and we conduct a clinic over a weekend and donate equipment to them in hopes that they will build a program and start a team.
Right.
So using that model, Teddy, we over the last 3 years, we've been able to develop four teams here in the United States. And we have a variety of different events coming up in 2013. And our hope is to have a wheelchair lacrosse team in every major city across the United States.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's been an awesome journey.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And you know, if you go to the website, wheelchairlacrosse.com, there's information and the rules and pictures, but there's also videos of you guys actually playing lacrosse. There's a video of you guys playing the Six Nations Arrows teams. There's videos of you guys playing actual NLL All-Stars. Is it pretty cool to see those guys sort of get taken out of their comfort zone?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's interesting, I think, for them to experience the game from a seated position.
Yeah.
Because it's all about, for you guys, it's about lateral movement. And talking to some of them afterwards, it won't play exactly the same due to our limited mobility. And the whole idea is we have to just constantly be moving, pushing. Where, able-bodied lacrosse, you can kind of stand in a static position and, throw a move or a head dodge on somebody, where in a chair you're not always going to be able to get away with that.
Right.
And I think that was a big part of where they struggled, once they got their hands on the ball, though,
yeah.
it was hard. They could keep it away from us. If we didn't get on them in a hurry, it was awesome playing with those guys. Like, fascinating and quick, and really kind of opened our eyes to kind of see what was possible. In a weird way, using those guys as an example. And then thinking, man, here we are doing this. Because, this is a demanding game. And what we're doing, I guess, Teddy, in a lot of ways, is for our population of our demographic, we realize it's not going to be for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
But what we're seeing are guys that really know how to move the chair. And they're really fast and active and, Paralympic level athletes. But they don't know really how to deal with the stick yet. And then we're seeing guys that maybe are recently injured who played in college or high school, and they've got really good stick skills, and now here they are in a chair. And so it's kind of like this great fusion of talent kind of coming together. And it's been so awesome. We're just thrilled. Yeah.
Are you seeing a lot of sort of interest from the sporting community, not just the lacrosse community, but the sporting community as well? Like, are you seeing a bit of that crossover from guys who are like yourself? You played wheelchair tennis, and there's obviously guys who play wheelchair basketball, wheelchair rugby, all these sort of wheelchaired sports. Are you starting to see maybe some guys showing a little bit of interest because it's sort of that newest thing?
Yeah, we are. We're seeing a really nice influx of guys that have interest who are, coming from kind of the basketball and hockey arena. But we don't have any illusions about competing for athletes with those sports. And at the end of the day, for me personally, I mean, I want people to play lacrosse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I just want people out doing something. And if they choose to play lacrosse, then we're stoked. We want them out, participating. So, traditionally, it's a spring game, and the wheelchair basketball season and hockey season are, simultaneous, You don't find a lot of guys that are doing both of those things. Mm-hmm. And they kind of conclude in the spring, and then our season, as it develops, will be a summertime thing. So we can draw athletes from those other sports and not put them in a position where they're having to make a decision about what they want to do.
Do you guys consider yourself a version of field lacrosse or box lacrosse?
That's a really good question. And, we're getting a lot of help with the rules and kind of the speed of play and what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a fusion of both games. games, I think. You know, we're playing in a roller hockey rink or a box rink, concrete floor.
Mm-hmm.
We use a hockey goal, however, just because most of the rinks, they're already there, and dragging a box goal out.
Oh, I know. It's not easy.
just logistically, it's better.
Yeah.
And really, when you have a guy, you know, we're using kind of street hockey or catch, you know, baseball, like catcher-style shin guards for the goalie.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, with a chest protector. And then, you know, we're kind of leaving it up to the keeper to determine his own length of handle.
Yeah.
And then the throat guard and all that.
Now, this may be an ignorant question. Obviously, I'm asking it, but is there much sensation for paralegics who are in chairs in their legs? Like, does wearing shin guards, is that just for safety?
It's purely for safety.
Okay.
Just because we can't feel it doesn't mean it's good, you know, not good for
us. That's kind of what I was getting at, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We still require all the same equipment, all the same protection. Even the women that come out to play with us are putting on helmets, shoulder pads, you know, and playing with men's sticks and the whole thing.
You know, you see in other wheelchair sports, they have special designed chairs. Are you guys in the process of that, or do you guys have a specific chair?
The chairs that we're using are essentially wheelchair basketball chairs.
Okay.
We don't have our chair requirements and specifications mirror the rules and specifications for a wheelchair basketball chair.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because most of the programs and guys that are, you know, playing sports have access to those types of chairs.
Yeah.
And, you know, having to redesign a chair specifically for lacrosse
doesn't make sense. That's fair enough. Where do you guys want this to go? I know you talked about being in like major cities throughout the United States and who knows, maybe even Canada. But is this something that can progress into a paraplegic event worldwide?
Yeah, we really believe that's where it's headed.
Yeah.
And we have been actually working with the Canadian Lacrosse Association on a standardized international competitive rule book.
Awesome.
You know, we have a version of our rules and what we've done down here, and the CLA, we have contacts there, and they've been incredibly generous and incredibly excited about what we're doing and working with us to kind of, you know, help make sure that everybody can be involved, you know. We want this to be an inclusive thing, and we don't want to turn anybody away regardless of their level of ability, you know.
Right.
What we've been focused on primarily is the wheelchair lacrosse thing. But bringing organizations like the CLA in, you know, in discussions with U.S. lacrosse, we want to really make sure that we're including all levels of ability to participate, you know, in a variety of different forms of the game, you know. And so what I do see, Teddy, is kind of like a version where it can be played like on a gym floor for people that might not have access to a rink, and, you know, maybe different lengths of sticks for kids, and all of this is just an evolving, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, again, it's all still so new. But we see we see world championships, you know, we see Paralympics and we see guys really taken to this, and I believe that once we see the mobility happening and once we see the accuracy and the catching and passing, we do believe it will be the fastest, most popular wheelchair team sport in the world.
That's fantastic, man. It's just so cool. I wish I was with all the NLL guys when you did the charity game with them, just to sort of get an idea of what it's like. And I hope you guys can continue growing. What are some of the events that you guys have going on this year in the coming months?
We're going to be in New York, May 18th and 19th.
Okay.
Right in the city there, doing a clinic for, you know, some guys there. We're hoping for a really good turnout. Information about that event is on our Facebook page. Again, May 18th and 19th. We are going to be in Chicago at the end of July, and we are we've been invited to Ocean City, where the people involved there, the tournament director, Bob, has created a wheelchair lacrosse division for us
awesome.
At Ocean City.
Awesome, dude.
Which is so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, it's hard not to get emotional about it.
Please go right. That's so amazing. And that just shows, you know, we talk about this a lot on this podcast about, you know, the reach of the lacrosse family. And when we talked to Sean Pollock last week, you know, we talked about how the lacrosse community came to him and his wife's aid when she was found out she had breast cancer, and they had this huge silent auction throughout the entire National Lacrosse League, not just with the Colorado Mammoth, and everybody joined in to help out. And now you're starting to see that as well, where the lacrosse family welcomes everybody with open arms, and they do what they can to make everybody a part of the family. And that's just an amazing step, an amazing thing that the guys at Ocean City are doing.
It's so awesome, and we really, you know, it's a powerful thing to be involved in, and to see it grow, and to see people, you know, new people coming out that have never picked up a stick in their whole life,
yeah.
You know, and here they are, like, becoming addicted to it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if New York goes well, and they have the summer to practice and play, and given the amount of people that we hope to get from that region, you know, Ocean City, maybe we could see 5 or 6 teams there.
Yeah.
You know, we'd like to go to Canada, come up to Canada again to do something up there and keep working with those guys.
Yeah.
We've had contact with people in Europe and Germany and Australia and
cool.
The UK. So we're slowly getting traction internationally. The guys at the FIL, Stan and Tom, have been just, you know, incredibly great and generous as a resource and kind of helping spread the word for us that way. And we just, you know, we can't say enough about the community. The Mammoth in Denver, one of our teams,
yeah.
is in Denver, and the Mammoth, you know, is actively involved in helping that team, you know, get jerseys and
yeah.
equipment that they need and help them raise money for travel to get to Ocean City. So we're really starting to see an emergence of that kind of top-notch support
yeah.
from all different kinds of people in the lacrosse community.
So what are the 4 cities you guys are in right now?
Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Georgia, Denver, and San Diego.
Oh, 5 cities. Awesome.
Richmond, Atlanta.
Oh,
Denver.
Richmond, Atlanta, Denver, and
yeah,
San
yeah. Richmond, okay. Virginia.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Georgia, Denver, Colorado, and San Diego,
right.
California.
That's awesome, man.
And then hopefully New York, and then hopefully Chicago, and so on.
Hey, the world's your oyster, man. So wheelchairlacrosse.com is the website. I'm guessing it's what, facebook.com/wheelchairlacrosse?
Yeah, just /wheelchairlacrosse, wheelchairlacrosse.com, @wheelchairlax on Twitter. And we're in the middle of revamping the whole website, actually. So
yeah.
you can go to the website, check it out, see what we have now. But expect a change on the website in the next, like, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We're really excited about that. And, I guess, you know, just follow us and like us and stay up to date with what we're doing. And, you know, definitely keep you in the loop, Teddy.
Yeah, there's you can also go to YouTube, youtube.com. The Wheelchair Lacrosse has their own channel, so you can go check out a bunch of their videos. You guys were at the lacrosse convention last month in Philadelphia. You guys are growing leaps and bounds, man. I'm so stoked for this. If you guys are ever up in Victoria or want to come up this way and get involved with the Victoria Shamrocks, let me know and I'll make it happen. And I look forward to talking
great.
To you soon, man.
Teddy, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time.
No worries, man. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Again, the website is wheelchairlacrosse.com. They are at wheelchairlax on Twitter, facebook.com/wheelchairlacrosse. It is a pretty cool sport when you watch it. You know, you watch any of the wheelchair sports, and it's just kind of, you have to look at it in awe of what they can do. You know, one hand's always got to be pushing the wheel, and you got one hand on the stick, and you got to be moving back and forth. And trust me, when you watch guys like Dan Dawson and some of these NLL players and the Merrill brothers and the such and the Six Nations guys play, you know, as Ryan said, they're great once they get the ball on their stick, but, you know, trying to maneuver the wheelchair around and pick up the ball and deal with the completely different mechanics of it, it's pretty challenging. So if you can, check out their website, wheelchairlacrosse.com. Sponsor them, support them if you can. If you have extra gear lying around, old jerseys, helmets, anything like that, send them their way. They can really use anything you can give to them. My name's Teddy Jenner. This has been another edition of the Off the Crossbar podcast, courtesy of ioindoor.com and Inside Lacrosse. We'll talk to you in a week's time. And remember, be excellent to each other.